Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Are you interested in angels, demons, spirits, ghosts, and monsters? Are you curious about their origins, tales, and influence upon history and on the present day? If so, sit back, relax, and welcome to Southern Demonology, the podcast that explores all of this and more.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Southern Demonology, and as always, I'm your host, JJ. I apologize for the lengthy time between the last episode and this one. My day job has become a great deal more complex and involved, and I've needed to devote the majority of my time to it. But we do have a doozy of a topic lined up for today, so I hope that helps make up for some of that absence. There are various holy or significant numbers to Christianity and Catholicism. The number 3, for example, represents the Trinity. The number 7 for archangels. And there are numerous other examples. But if you flip the holy to unholy, then I posit that there's another number of mystery, exempting the number 6 for obvious reasons. And that would be the number 2. In fact, both are one less than their holy counterparts on purpose to show their inferiority. But back to the number 2. For example, when it comes to exorcism, most know of the rite of person, where a priest, through church approval, seeks to expel an invading demon who has taken control of that person. For more information on that particular topic, please refer to a previous episode of mine entitled Demonic Gateways. However, there is a second rite of exorcism listed in the ritual, and that is possession of place. Demons are by definition preternatural, i.e. they are bound by time, location, or both. And this is not a recent development worth of thinking. Even going back to First Enoch, we find that the spirits of the Nephilim were trapped on earth as they were a mixture of spirit and flesh. And due to this limitation, we find that this type of exorcism is not only logical, but is also needed. Yet the types of exorcism is not the only place where the number 2 rears its ugly head. And yes, in case you're wondering, I am trying very, very hard not to devolve into dad joke potty humor. Possession is not the only toolkit in a demon's arsenal. Before I go further, I want to take a minute to express my deep gratitude for all the people in our Discord community. If you've ever had the misfortune of delving into the comments section of any website, whether it be Reddit or YouTube or any of the millions of others, then all the negativity in the world is right at your fingertips. And the fact that the word doom scrolling has entered into our common parlance, it just gives you an idea of how bad this can be. But our server is filled with honest questions and good people, and it fosters so many positive conversations. If you would like to join and be a part of that, simply go to the website at southerndemonology.com and click on the link either at the top of the page or in the community section. Anyway, the reason I brought that up, one of our Discord members had mentioned an older interview with Malachi Martin, the former Jesuit priest who also penned the book Hostage to the Devil, along with many others. And I know that y'all have heard me talk about this book at length before. I tracked that interview down on YouTube, and in it he mentioned demonic obsession. And my ears immediately perked up as A, I've read Martin's Hostage to the Devil quite a few times, and I was unaware of this term. Even when going back and searching the digital edition, I noticed that this term is not used in that book. And B, it's a topic in which, just in general, I am not familiar with. And so I went back and did some research. Now, if someone in our time heard the word obsession, then typically an ad for perfume, or perhaps the psychological state of a former significant other comes to mind. From a psychological perspective, the word, of course, refers to being negatively fixated upon something or someone. But for the demonic, it has a slightly different meaning. And for that, we need to go back to the Latin obsidiare, meaning to besiege. As possession is an attack from within, obsession is an attack from without, from outside, making it the polar opposite. Thus, the demonic, even though not attempting to coerce one's free will, is able to make one beyond miserable. Yet, we do need to clear up some concepts. Martin lumps all outside attacks under one moniker of obsession. Yet others, such as Father Francisco Belmonte, president of the International Association of Exorcists, further subdivides outside attacks into two categories, obsession and oppression. In this case, obsession is where the demonic forces one to fixate upon the unholy. According to Father Belmonte, a demon, quote, is able to communicate obsessive thoughts or images that are at times rationally absurd to the victim's mind, i.e., the imagination and the memory, but which they are not able to ward off, unquote. And this is different from psychological neuroses such as OCD. Mental obsession can be insidious, in that the beleaguered person can be bombarded with either unholy imagery or the impulse to do bodily harm to oneself or to others. And though we've all heard of cheap defense cases where the defender claims, "The devil made me do it," the reality is much more frightening. If a person is truly under demonic possession, then there's no escape from the prison of one's mind. To have the same images and thoughts pumped into one's head and memories from an outside force, that's hell on earth. Whereas obsession is a mental attack, oppression, or often called vexation, is, quote, physical aggressions of demons against a person which may manifest in burns, scratches, bites, beatings, and blows that leaves bruises, swelling, bloody sores, or bone fractures. Some have experienced letters, words, or symbols appearing as incisions on their skin. These persist for a time and then disappear, unquote. Whether or not outside attacks are lumped under the classification of obsession or are broken into two categories, obsession and oppression, two things are made clear. First, These types of attacks are much more common than possession. The second is that they still require the assistance of an exorcist. Further, due to the mental nature of obsession, the rigorous diagnosis of the true source of a particular malady is absolutely critical. Having medical and psychological exams from multiple neutral sources is needed to ensure that the source is one that an exorcist is able to treat. If an individual in question is suffering from mental issues that arose from more mundane sources, such as trauma, then a priest will not be able to help except for offering sympathy and solace in God's love. Now, I do want to go back to that interview between Malachi Martin and Art Bell that happened back in the 90s. If you've ever read Martin's Hostage to the Devil or other related accounts of exorcism, then you will walk away sure of one thing. Exorcisms take a huge toll on the exorcist, to the point where they could rob a priest of almost everything, up to and including life. You can almost imagine that the love of life, the love of others, is a well of finite resources. And each time an exorcism occurs, then some of that water is scooped out, never to be replaced again. Yet in that interview, Martin claims to have dealt with thousands of cases of obsession and hundreds of possession. Now, I have never met Malachi Martin before his death, or anyone else who had known him personally, so I can't testify to the veracity of his words. But those numbers, if true, are absolutely shocking. And I mean to the point of being completely unbelievable. I'm not saying such magnitude is impossible, but it does call into question, if true, just how draining one exorcism can potentially be. And all of this is just one of the many issues when defining or categorizing any knowledge of the spiritual. For it's all experiential in nature and shallow to boot. And by shallow, I mean that the ripples that radiate out from a particular experience are individual in nature. Yes, there are old cases.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Of, you know, hundreds of people being afflicted by dancing melodies which were claimed to be of demonic nature. But in these modern times, they touch one person, or five people, or 10 people, But it really doesn't go beyond that. And unless there is complete video proof or audio proof or something along those lines, there's not much of a way to be able to point to someone and say, here is definitive proof, here is complete evidence. Rather, it's just tales that are told from one person to the next. And yes, some of those may be over radio or TV or YouTube channels or whatever, you know, sorts of mediums that you really want to have. But the person who is on the receiving end of that experience is still an individual. And this actually calls to mind a few other topics that were discussed in our Discord. You know, if you've read Martin's book, and it is a phenomenal book, I'm not trying to detract away from that. The tales that were told are chilling, to say the least. I mean, my God, in college, when I first read it as part of a religion class assignment, I was petrified for months. And I'm a person who watches horror movies like they're candy. I mean, I still do. But he talks about two concepts in the book. The first one are those who are, quote-unquote, perfectly possessed. And then these individuals, it's not a case where a demon subverts someone's free will and overtakes their body, but rather the demon is welcomed in. And rather than subverting, it augments the person. And the experience of meeting one of these people is meant to be chilling and off-putting. But he freely admits that there's no way to prove it. And the second type of thing is you have demonic possession, but you can also have an avatar of a demon who is seeking to essentially wear down a host until its master can infiltrate and actually bring around a possession. And both of these items can't be proven by his own admission. They cannot be proven. And the fact that we have these two suppositions, and I'm not saying that they're not legit, but you have to consider the source. If you're studying something, but the subject matter at hand is meant to deceive, how far can you really take that forward? Anyway, I personally am a believer in possession and of exorcism and of demons. And I can't think of a scarier thing than these items. So I'm not trying to call into question items that surround this, but I do want to highlight the kind of open mind that someone has to have when examining these particular things. If something strikes you as being odd or not true, you have to be able to examine it and question it. If someone says that something is cannot ever be questioned, then you have to look at the intent of the person who is saying that. Anyway, these topics have always been fascinating. And to be able to, before I was only truly aware of possession itself. But to have two different categories, possession and obsession, or if you subdivide that into obsession and oppression. And in fact, Father Belamonte even posits that there could be a fourth, which is demonic subjugation. You've got a really interesting mix of things that are happening. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this brief introduction into this concept of demonic obsession. And if you have any questions about this or around the two different types of exorcism that is found in the Roman ritual, then, you know, feel free to contact me, you know, of course, through our Facebook, which is Southern Demonology, through direct messaging, which is southerndemonology@gmail.com, or on our Discord server, where we have lots of people ask questions, and it's not just me who answers, but everybody contributes to the discussion, which is great. And even better, privacy is ultimately respected. You know, I do have some friends on there, but I'm not revealing anything about them. I don't reveal anything about myself. I don't expect anyone else to reveal their information. If someone happens to give something forth, then fantastic. But no one's ever going to compel you to. But anyway, you have multiple ways of being able to get a hold of me and ask questions. So please feel free to do so. And as always, when talking about the demonic, when talking about things that can have their eyes being drawn to you, I highly recommend saying a prayer, having religious artifacts around, anything that can help preserve you. And in that spirit, as usual, we're going to do a quick recitation of the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander through the world for the ruin of souls. Amen. To close this episode out, I do have a horror movie recommendation that I would like to make. I was really pleasantly surprised. If you happen to have a subscription to Shudder, which they have a large amount of cruft on their service and their website is slow as ever living hell, but they do produce their own movies, which some of them are phenomenal, like The Terrifiers. But the one I want to talk about today is Anything for Jackson. It's not that there's a ton of gore, and it's not that it trods, you know, completely new ground. But what it does is show a couple, an older couple, who have devoted their entire life to evil for the sake of love. And if you ever played D&D, they kind of just perfectly remind me of the alignment class of lawful evil. two people that follow the rules, but have turned to nefarious purposes to achieve their goal. And that goal is to essentially resurrect their dead grandson, Jackson, by kidnapping a pregnant woman and seeking to replace her child with their grandchild. It's very well done. The characters are extremely believable. The acting is great. If you have Shudder, highly recommend it. If not, the free subscription for 7 days or however much they do is very good. And also, if you do have Shudder coming up, they have announced that the second season of Creepshow is coming out, which is just going to be awesome. No, I do not get paid for endorsing Shudder or any other service because I don't have that many listeners. But anyway, I hope you take it as being an honest recommendation. I really did enjoy the movie. So that is all that I have for this episode. I know it runs maybe 5 minutes shorter than normal. I apologize for that. I'm still trying to get into the groove of everything here. But I hope that you're staying safe, that you're taking all relevant precautions until we can get all get vaccinated and hopefully return to a little bit of normalcy to our daily lives. But stay safe. And if you need anything, feel free to reach out and I'll do whatever I can. You can find us on Facebook, on Discord. We have a Patreon community. If you really want some swag with our logo on it, then I do have some hoodies and shirts and a mug. So you can find all of that on both the website and on the Facebook group. Or if you really want to help contribute and support this podcast, then feel free to join our Patreon group and you'll get some nice little bonuses in there as well. So excuse the advertising, but I hope you have a great night and we'll talk to you next time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.